What time do we have until? I clocked on a different clock. I want to learn together about the life of the Agum Avinu. I think it's a timely topic. Specifically, I want to learn together something which I think is very nogeya lemaisa, and that is the nisyonos of Avraham Avinu that he experienced in his life. I guess I'll begin just by way of hakadama. There's a Mishnah, there's two Mishnahs back to back in Pirkei Avos. We have a Mishnah that tells us that there were 10 generations from Noach to Avraham. And then you have the very next Mishnah which tells us that Avraham Avinu was tested with asara nisyonot. And the Mefarshim ask, why the first time when it talks about the generations from Noach to Avram, does it call him Avram? And why the second time when it mentions Avram in the context of his 10 tests, does it call him Avram Avinu? Heard this question before? Anyone heard this question before? It's the question that Rav Chaim Volozhiner asks in his parish in Pirkei Avos, Ruach Chaim. Chaim Volozhiner, the Talmud of the Vilna Gaon. So he asks the question, why the shift, why the change from Avram to Avram Avinu? Why in the context of the Nisyonos is he called Avram Avinu? Chaim Volozhiner says an amazing answer, and it's true for all of the Avos, and really for all the tzaddikim in history. It's dafka through Avram's ability to pass his 10 tests that he becomes Avram Avinu. He's not Stam Avram. What makes him Avram Avinu? What's our shaychus to him? What's our connection to him as Avinu? It's the fact that he was Omid B'Nisar. And that becomes, a good way to describe it is, that becomes part of our spiritual DNA. That because Avram was able to pass those tests, it becomes part of the essence of who Klal Yisrael, who we are as a people. Rav Chaim Volozhiner gives a very intense example, but it's true for, I guess, all of the nisyonos of Avram Avinu. He says, take, for example, the nisayon of giving his life al kiddush Hashem. The Chazal tell us in the Medrash, Avram was willing to die, to be thrown into a fiery furnace, al kiddush Hashem. Chaim Volozhiner says, and history tells the tale, that becomes part of our spiritual DNA. That is to say, that throughout history, Jews have found the strength, God forbid, they shouldn't know from it, but Jews have found within themselves the strength to die al kiddush Hashem, to be prepared to make the ultimate sacrifice. Where do we get that strength from? And it's amazing, you look at different points in history, you find people who didn't live a life of Torah and mitzvos, but push comes to shove, when the moment came for them to be Moser Nefesh, they died proudly as Jews. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. People who didn't keep Shabbos, who didn't keep kosher, who didn't keep Taras Mishpacha. All of a sudden, when it comes time to make the ultimate sacrifice, they do it with tremendous confidence and courage. Where does that come from? It says Rav Chaim of Elazhin, it comes from Avram Avinu. Not just Avram, Avram Avinu. It's our spiritual DNA. The Tanya writes the same thing in Parak Yuchas, more or less. Yudushas Levi has the same thing in Parshas Yisro. They all have that same Yisro. That a Jew has a strength that we can draw on from Avraham Avinu. These Parshas that we find ourselves between, Lech Lechan Ve'era, are the Parshas where we really experience and meet and encounter the life of Avraham Avinu. I'll tell you Gevaldik Remez that I heard from Matl Zilber, the Stuchina Rebbe. Back in America, Shlita. Again, the parshas of Avram are Lech Lecha and Vayir. I like Ramazan. If you like Ramazan, Gematrias, especially when you understand it in the context of a shir, not just a standalone remez. It's true, we hear a little bit about Avram, we hear of him in Noach, we hear indirectly about him after parshas Vayera. We learn a little bit more about him. Chayisara told us he's still, but the essence of Avram's life presented to us in the Torah in the parshios of Lech Lecha and Vayera. What's the gematria of Lech Lecha? A little math lesson. Here I'm back from Yeshiva University, Torah Ma, and I have to do a little math, you know? Before back to New York, we had learning, we had a math class. What's the gematria of Lech Lecha? 100. What's the gematria of Vayera? Above Yud Resh Aleph. 217. So what's Lech Lecha plus Vayera? 317. What's the gematria of Avraham? good Jewish number. And he goes from Avram to Avraham, 248. 248, of course, is the 248 mitzvahs to say. Chazal say it corresponds to the 248 limbs of the body, which makes a lot of sense in the context of Avram Avinu. Because the Gemara tells us in Yom and in Kiddushin that Avram kept the mitzvahs before the Torah was even given. How did Avram know how to keep the Torah and mitzvahs before it was ever given? How did he know how to do that? Chazal say he looked at his body, he was able to look at himself and to infer from within himself. He looked at his arm and said, this arm needs tefillah. He looked at each of his limbs and was able to infer. So the 248 limbs, which Chazal say, are found in the male body. Interesting, Chazal say women have 252. But the 248 masculine body correspond to the 248 mitzvahs. So say, Avraham is 248. What's the gematria of Avinu? Aleph Beis Yud Nun Vav. Avinu? 69. So what's the gematria of Avraham Avinu? 248 plus 69, 317. 317 is gematria, lech lecha plus vayera. So it's in these parshas, dafka, that not just Stam we meet Avram, we understand how Avram becomes Avinu through the Nisyonos. Where did the Nisyonos begin and where did the Nisyonos end? It's a big machlokas Rishonim. If you look in the Rishonim on that Mishnah, Pirkei Avos, the 10 tests of Avram, it's a big machlokas Rishonim. We sometimes think it begins with Avram being thrown into the furnace of Orkastim. We sometimes think it ends with the Akedah, but you could argue, like Rabbeinu Yonah does, that it actually continues after the Akedah while he's trying to bury Sarah. That's actually the final test of Avraham Avinu. But Chazal in the Medrash are very clear. And again, not to say that the other Rishonim don't have what to base themselves upon. But Chazal in the Medrash say it begins with Lech Lecha and it ends with Lech Lecha. It begins last week's Parsha, Lech Lecha Me'artzecha. And it ends, the tenth and final test, the ultimate test, this week's parsha, Lech Lecha El Eretz Moria, to go to a Akedah Sitzin. It starts with Lech Lecha, and it ends with Lech Lecha. So I want to study the Nisyonos of Avraham Avinu. Again, I'm not trying to give a fancy shiur, just very practical, the Derech Avodah, to help us to understand our own Nisyonos in our life. Because everyone has Nisyonos. We like to pretend sometimes we don't, but we all have Nisyonos, in a lot of different ways. And in fact, the Ma'ore Naim, the Rebbe of Chernobyl, writes in his Sefer, the Ma'ore Naim writes that just like Avram was tested with 10 tests, Maisa Avo Simon Labanim, the Ma'ore Naim writes, every single Jew is going to also Minasin as Kol Echad Be'eser Nisyonos. Everyone has 10 tests. What your 10 tests in your life are going to be, where those checkpoints are going to be in the course of your life, I don't know. I can tell you what my father said to me about 5.5 years ago when I was going through a difficult medical illness, difficult situation. My father said to me, he said, Moshe Tzvi, this is your Akedas Yitzchak. My father didn't know that quote from the Mori 9 that we all have 10 tests. My father was saying to me, so to speak, this is a big Nisayon. And you could be Omid B'Nisayon, you could have the right attitude in this situation. The way that Avraham Avinu was able to maintain his Emunah and Bitachon when he was going through his Nisayonos. Avraham Avinu had unbelievable bitachon in the Kodesh Baruch Hu. How old was Avraham Avinu when he began the journey of Lech Lecha Me'artzecha? Yeah. He's 75 years old. Okay, I'll tell you just one more remez and then I'll stop. No more remezim for the moment. The Bas Ayin, another Chassidus Sefer, he writes in the Bas Ayin, he says, it's not stam, it's not by chance that Avraham is 75 years old. When he begins his journey of walking with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, Lech Lecha Me'artzecha, getting out of his comfort zone, because 75 is gematria of the word bitachon. And only a person who has bitachon can walk with the Kodesh Baruch Hu the way that Avraham does. However, what's the difference between emunah and bitachon, just to be clear with the terms? If you've learned a little bit, the Chazon Ish say for emunah and bitachon, you know. Emunah, I think actually, is today the Chazon Ish's Yahrzeit? Anyone know? It is today? Tonight? When? Today? It was today? What's tonight? Ah, Gavah. Okay, Zuchuso Yagen Alein, the merit of the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish said, Emunah is faith in Hashem. This is my theoretical belief in Hashem. You'll see why this is going to be important in tonight's shiur. Emunah means, in an abstract sense, yeah, I believe in God. I know He's out there and I believe in Him. I believe in Hashem as a concept. Bitachon is the application of that belief. So Emunah means, I know Hashem runs the world. Bitachon is, are you prepared to live with that? Emun is, yeah, Hashem is in charge of the world. Bitachon is when Hashem knocks on your door and says, Lach lecha me'artzecha. Well, that's a lot to ask. Well, do you have bitachon or not? Do you believe it in theory, or you're prepared to live it? So Avraham Avinu was 75 years old, gematria bitachon, at the moment that he gets that call from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lech lecha me'artzecha. Get out of your comfort zone, and I want you to go el ha'aretz asher. Let's ask a question on the Rabbono Shalom. Okay? In the presence of the Rabbono Shalom, let's ask a question on the Rabbono Shalom. Why does Hashem make nisyonos in the way that he does? Why does Hashem, it almost seems like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is teasing us some of the time. Hashem always operates in such a funny way. Hashem dafka makes it extra confusing. Let's go back to a Rashi from this past week's parsha. Lech lecha me'artzecha. Ela aretz asher. Says Rashi, just think about it. Pashu pshat. Asher ha'ekla, to the place that I will show you? How do you get there? How do you travel to a place where you have no idea where you're going? So Avraham Avinu packs his bag. He's not sure where he's going and how long he's going. So he takes all of his stuff, let's say. He calls a cab. The driver shows up. Yeah. He says, where to, Achi? Where are you going? No idea. No idea. So, like, where should I drive to? I'm not sure. North, west, south, east? Like, point me in a direction. I don't know. God said, just go. Think about that for a second. I wouldn't know how to take the first step. And yet Avraham Avinu was told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to go to the place. You'll see, you'll figure it out on the way. We'll figure it out as you go. Just start going. Which direction? Just go. And what do I put into ways? Just go. Just start going. And Avraham Avinu, with tremendous bitachon, he starts going. Says Rashi, Ala Aretz Asher Ekka. Listen to this Rashi. Says Rashi, Ala Aretz Asher Ekka. Asher Ekka, Rashi says, Lo Gila Lo Ha'aretz Miyad, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't reveal to Avraham right away where he was going, Kidei Lechavavo Be'enav, to make it special in his eyes. When your friend says, I want to take you somewhere special, get in the car. Your friend knows where he's going, right? It's a surprise. It's your birthday. I'm taking you somewhere special. It's a surprise party. Okay. So at least you know where you're going. But if someone tells you to do something and you have no idea what they want you to do, that's not l'chavo ve'ena. That doesn't make it special. It makes me nervous. It causes anxiety. Like, what do you want from me, Hashem? Hashem says, I want to give you a reward for every step. Because every step is filled with confusion. Hashem, why do you operate that way? Why are you trying to be intentionally confusing? And Rashi goes on and says, by the way, thematically, this is what Hashem always does. And Rashi in last week starts quoting from this week's parsha. Kiyotze bo. Similarly, as bincha as yechidcha, asher ahavta as yitzchak. Hashem, tell me what you want. How does Rashi learn that pasuk in this week's parsha? As bincha, as yechidcha, asher ahavta, as yitzchak. Hashem says to Avram, take as bincha. I want you to take your son. Which son? I have two sons. I have a yitzchak, I have a yishmael. Hashem says, okay, I'll give you a little more of a clue. Yechidcha, your only son. I have two only sons. I have an only son from Sarah, I have an only son from Hagar. Asher ahavta. You know, the one that you love. Rabbono Shel, stop messing with me. I love both my children. Tell me what you want. Why are you being intentionally confusing? It's not nice. You're taunting me. Finally, Hashem says, "Es Yitzchak." Thank you. A little clarity. Why does Hashem do that? Why does Hashem always hide himself? And it's not only B'shas Nisayon, as we'll see. Rashi says another example. Kayotze bo, on the way to the Akedah. Al achad heharim asher omar elecha. Again, where are we going? Al Eretz Amoria. Where? One of the mountains. I'll tell you when you get there. How am I supposed to find it? Lulamaitse, how does Avraham Avinu find the place of the Akedah? What does Rashi say in this week's parsha? He sees a cloud hovering over the mountain. And he says, this must be the place. What does a cloud represent? It's not only the Lech Lecha, which is so confusing. It's not only the concluding Lech Lecha and the Akedah, which is so confusing. The Kabbalas HaTorah is also so confusing. Think about the description of Kabbalas HaTorah in Parshas Yisro. we would expect that Kabbalah Satorah, the Torah is so beautiful and so pleasant, we would expect that what's the scene when the Jews show up at our Sinai? What's it like? Beautiful, crisp day, a sunny day, a nice afternoon. What's the actual picture of Kabbalah Satorah, Chavra? Klai Yisrael show up at our Sinai and it's terrifying. It's shrouded in darkness. Vayered Hashem al Har Sinai in a dark cloud. There's thunder, there's lightning. It's super intense. There's shofar. It's not very inviting at all. So again, we ask the Kodesh Baruch Hu, what's the pshah? Why do you operate in that dark cloud? Why are you hiding yourself at a time that you're trying to reveal yourself? Because that's what Hashem is trying. Hashem is inviting Avram to walk with him. Lach lecha me'aretz, we're going to go together. So Hashem, so be present. Why are you revealing and concealing at the same time? But I think we all basically know the answer, and it's also a mission of Pirkei Avos. Lefum tzara Avram. In real life, in meaningful life, nothing comes easy. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if you're going to actually get something from this experience, it has to be with a little bit of confusion. It has to be with a little bit of a nisayon. It has to be with a little bit of a lack of clarity. Let's learn a pasuk in Chumash, the way Rabbi Nachman of Breslov explains it in Likutei Mara. It's a famous Torah. It's a pasuk in Parshas Yisro, Shmos Parashat. When Klal Yisrael come to Kabbalah Satorah, what does it look like when they're standing at the mountain? Let's just learn, it's Pashut Pshat once you hear Rabbi Nachman's types of the pasuk. He has a whole Maamar on it. There's a whole Torah on it. But it's just a simple understanding of a pasuk in Chumash. The pasuk says that when the Jews came to Har Sinai, Vaya'amod ha'am me'rachok, people stood at a distance. Vaya'amod ha'am me'rachok. They were scared. Har Sinai was not inviting. There was the darkest of clouds hovering over that mountain. In the language of the Torah, there are three ways to say dark. Choshech is dark. Anan, I guess you could translate as darker. Arafel, Ayin Reish Pei Lamed, Arafel is darkest. What type of cloud was hovering over our Sinai? Choshech, Anan, and Arafel. It was mamish, the darkest of dark. So says the pasuk, Klal Yisrael come to our Sinai, Vaya'amod ha'am me'rachok. The Jewish people stood at a distance, very intimidating. Not all that different, let's be honest, not all that different than our experience of walking into a Beis Medrash and just looking at the, piles of svarim and feeling super intimidated. How on earth am I ever going to know Kol HaTorah Kula? How am I going to learn 2,711 pages of Gemara? How am I going to learn a Shulchan Aruch? How am I going to learn finish Tanakh? I don't even know Chumash Rashi. How am I going to learn all this? Every Sif Katan in the Mishnah Berurah. Every Taz in Magen Avraham. All the Shailos and Tshuvos of all the Gedolei Apostles throughout the generation. All the Sifrei Machshava. It seems impossible. It's very intimidating. So you know what happens sometimes? When HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts that Nisayon, a little bit of that challenge, a little bit of that intimidation in front of a person, the Pasuk says, Vaya'amod ha'am me'rachok. Klal Yisrael retreated. They recoiled. They were scared. They didn't know how to approach. Nope. Anyone's bar mitzvah parsha? Yisrael. What's the end of the pasuk? Ve'amod ha'am me'rachok. People stood at a distance. Moshe nigash el ha'arafel asher shom ha'elokim. Moshe nigash el ha'arafel. Moshe nigash. He approached the arafel, the darkest cloud, because Moshe said to himself, asher shom ha'elokim. Because there, in that darkest cloud, is where Hashem can be found. Dafka, when it looks like this is too hard, dafka, when it looks intimidating, that's called a nisayon, and that's how you grow in Avodas Hashem. Whether it's the Lech Lecha Me'artzecha, I have no idea where I'm going, whether it's Lech Lecha Al Eretz HaMoriah, to one of the mountains I'll reveal later on, and by the way, when Hashem reveals it, it's a cloud. Whether it's Kabbalah Satorah in that dark cloud, it's a Kodesh Baruch Hu's way of saying, if you're going to grow, it's going to be with a struggle. Real growth takes place through overcoming struggles. Kepshut. Let's learn the Ramban, the very famous Ramban in this week's portion. You have to know this Ramban. To be a Jew, you have to know this Ramban. If you never heard it before, you'll learn it now. And now you'll know it. You'll remember it for the rest of your life. The Ramban is addressing the basic question. Why does the Kodesh Baruch Hu give people nisyonos? Because by the Akedah is where we hear the word nisayon. Ve'alukim nisa es Avram. Avram. Hashem tested Avram. Why does Hashem give a nisayon? What's the purpose of a nisayon? Listen to the words of the Holy Ramban. Inyan hanisayon hu l'dati. Bereishis Chaf Beis Pasuk Aleph. What is the point of a nisayon? Why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu give nisayons? What are we supposed to get from it? Says the Ramban. Ba'avur heyos maisa adam rishus muchletes viado. Since HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us an awesome gift called what? Free will. As the Rambam describes in Hilchos Teshuvah in the fifth parak, where the Rambam describes the awesome gift of free will, it's obviously deeply connected to Teshuvah, because I can choose to do mitzvahs, I can choose to do averus. So says the Rambam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has empowered a person, a human being, with reshus muchletes, complete choice. It's all yours. You do what you want. Im yirtza yasev, im lo yirtza lo yasev. If you want, you can do good. If you don't want, you can do whatever you want. You want to be machal Shabbos? You're not going to get struck down by lightning. It doesn't work like that. It doesn't mean you're going to get away with it. Eventually, there's schar va'onesh. But the way that Hashem runs the world is you choose to do what you want. You want to be a from yid? The choice is yours. You want to be a kaifer not bikaris? The choice is yours. Hashem empowers you to choose. It's a double-edged sword. You make good choices, you make bad choices. But that's the reality. But Hashem Baruch Hu lets people choose. And therefore, what? What is a nisayon? Says the Ramban, from Hashem's perspective, Hashem knows the end result. The Rebbe Hashem operates outside of time. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is all-knowing. Hashem knows what you're going to choose before you even made the choice. That's what the Ramban writes in the fifth paragraph of Hilchos Teshuvah, right? Which he describes as the deepest of sugyas, which is what? Free will versus HaKadosh Baruch Hu's omniscience, Hashem knowing all. Bechira and Yediya, your ability to choose, and yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows the results before you even make the choice. The Rambam says it's the deepest sugya in the world. The Ravid yells at him and says, why are you reminding people that you're not going to understand, that you're just confusing people, stop talking about it. But says the Ramban, the bottom line is we have the ability to choose. So therefore, from Hashem's perspective, it's not a nisayon. Hashem knows what the outcome is going to be. However, Aval HaMenaseh Yisbarach Yitzavabo, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu challenges us, listen to the words, the beautiful words, Lahotzi HaDavar Min HaKoach El HaPoach. Ramban says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us a nisayon to take our potential and to actualize it, to turn koach, potential, into poach, into lemaisa. How many Jews, let's be honest, with ourselves and an assessment of the world, how many people are theoretically good Jews and get by like that, you know? People who spend their whole life saying, well, I love when people do this, right? But people, like, at the moment they're doing the Aveira, they're speaking Lashon Hara, they're saying, I know I shouldn't speak Lashon Hara, but, and then they say Lashon Hara. So you obviously don't know you shouldn't speak Lashon Hara, or you wouldn't do it. You wouldn't speak Lashon Hara. I know I should learn more Torah. So Hashem says, Shalom Aleichem, why don't you learn more Torah? Well, I could learn more. That's nice that you could. So why don't you? I know I should daven with Kavanah. That's nice that you know. That's good that you know that. But why don't you actually do that? So sometimes in life we get stuck in almost this theoretical model. It happens in a funny way. I talk to people sometimes. I'll talk to a guy and he'll tell me like the type of, you know, girl he's looking for in Shidduchim. And I'll say, like, but you're not that type of guy. Like, why do you think you deserve that type of girl? Let's be honest for a second. Why do you think you deserve such a great girl? You're like, you don't actually do those things. And he's like, I know, but like in my head, like, right, in your head, like you learn a ton of Torah, and in your head you never miss minyan, and in your head, like, you're a big tzaddik, but like you're not actually doing those things. So I know you could do those things, and if you do those things, Taki, you deserve a girl who like wants that type of guy. But don't pretend like you're a big learner if you're not. We get stuck in that sometimes. So you know how HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets us out of that? If we can't get ourselves out of that? HaKadosh Baruch Hu challenges us. That's one of these silences. And again, in the words of the Ramban, Lahotzi HaDavar Min HaKoach El HaPoach. Hashem says, I don't want you to be stuck as a theoretically good Jew. I want you to be an actually good Jew. Liyos lo schar ma'ase tov, lo schar lev tov bilvad. Beautiful words of the Ramban. I don't want to just reward you, Hashem says, for what? For lev tov, for good intentions. I want to be able to reward you for ma'aseh tov, for good actions. I want to be able to say, not only were you well-meaning, but you did it. You actualized it. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us a nisayon, to help us to identify and to actualize our own strength. Let's do a little experiment for a second, okay? You bear with me for a second. Take your hands and push up against the air, okay? Humor me for a second. Just push against the air for a second, okay? Okay, great. Great job. Yeah? Now put your hands under the table, yeah, and pull up on the table. Just pull up a little bit on the table, okay? Which way do you feel more of your strength? Obviously the second one, right? Why? You didn't get any stronger. Why do you feel your own strength more when you're pushing against something? Your arms were not any, your muscles weren't any bigger when you were pushing against the air versus when pushing against the strength. It's an important muscle. Why? What's the difference? The answer is, as the Ramban is saying, that when something is blocking me, when there's a confrontation, when there's a conflict, when there's something that's challenging me, it's not that I didn't have that strength before, but now I begin to identify that strength. I'm able to feel and to actualize that strength. I'm able to have an encounter with that strength. That's what the Ramban is saying. To turn the lathe to the good intentions, my arms could, you know, they probably could push more than this. I probably could feel more. I probably could do more. And now when I'm pushing against the center, now I feel it happen. It becomes a reality. It's no longer a theoretical. And Avraham Avinu is challenged by HaKadosh Baruch Hu the same way that we're challenged in our lives, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to be able to actualize our potential. It's as simple as that. It's not a fluffy idea. It's what life is really made up of. It's the nisayon of whatever it might be, whether it's tikkun amidos, whether it's solving the shakli v'tari of tosos, whether it's conquering shmiras einayim, whatever it is, learning to daven with kavana. It could be a person who's struggling with an illness or financial difficulties or a mental health issue. It could be a lot of different things. And it comes up in a lot of different ways in life. But it's not because HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't like you that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is throwing stumbling block and trying to trip you up. It's not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is hiding in the dark cloud because he doesn't want you to find him. At Har Sinai, many Jews were chickening out. Moshe Nigash El Arafa El Asher Shom Elokim. Moshe Rabbeinu, Rabbi Nachman explains, is the Das of Klaus. It's the Torah thinking of a Jew to say, you know what? I'm going to push through whatever this is. I'm going to sit and work on this Daf of Gemara until I get the Shakla Vitaria. Even if it means I have to embarrass myself to ask me if I still don't get it. Can you repeat it for the 17th time, for the 50th time, for the 1,000th time? I'll do it because I care to, because I'm an Hamistic person. I want to know what the Gemara says. And if it means working a little bit harder, I'm prepared to work a little bit harder. And it's comforting for me to be able to say that Avraham Avinu also struggled. It was hard for him. It was an Nisayon. You know the Shem Yishmol writes? Beval Dekor. When Avram finally comes to the Makom of the Akedah, what does the Pasuk say? It says, Avram finally looks up at the end of the third day, this week's parasha, Avram looks up, Vayar as Hamakom Merachon. What does Hamakom mean? He sees the place from a distance. Shkat. What else does Hamakom mean? Hamakom Yenachim Eslam, right? Chazal say in the Medrash, Hashem is called Makom, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is everywhere. He's Makomo Shal Olam, in the language of Chazal. Avram looks up after traveling for 3 days, trying to figure out where on earth is Akedas Yitzchak supposed to be. He finally gets to the place. He thinks he finally figured it out. But he's feeling frustrated. Vayar es hamakom merachok. Says the Shem Yishmuel, the Rebbe of Sokotchev, the grandson, the Kotzke Rebbe, the son of the Avnei Nezer. Says the Shem Yishmuel. Vayar es hamakom merachok, Avram says, Hashem, I feel distant from you. This is very confusing what I'm going through. I'm prepared to do it. The Rabbono Shalom, this is not an easy thing. This is a very difficult experience for me. How many of us imagine, when you think about Avram, when you think about Avram Avinu, how many of us think of someone who is struggling in his nisyonos? What do you think? It was hard for Avram Avinu? Was Akedas Yitzchak hard for Avram to do? Or do you think, no, Avram Avinu is the greatest mammon ever. Hashem tells him to go kill his son. No big deal. You're going to kill your son. What do you think? I want to read you two pieces of Torah, two great tzaddikim. Elu ve'elu devei Elokim chayim, I really mean that. Both of their words are true, even though they're utterly contradictory. And it's mamash min ha'kotza el ha'kotza, from one extreme to the other end of the spectrum. Let's learn the perspective of Rav Kook, Rav Avraham Yitzchak HaKohen Kook, Zecher Tzadik L'Vracha by the Akedah, or Rav Kook writes, what Avram's experience was on the way to the Akedah, and then we'll learn what Rav Soloveitchik wrote about Avram's experience on the way to the Akedah, and it's mamish opposite ends of the spectrum. Okay, listen to these words. I'm going to read you Rav Kook in English, because it's a little bit easier than his very poetic Lashon HaKodesh. But if you want to learn it inside, you want to see it in all of its glory, it's in Rav Kook's commentary on the Siddur, the Ola Saraya. Page 84 and 85, because some people recite Parshas Akedah as part of their morning routine, part of their shachars. So over there, Rav Kook has insights on Akedas Yitzchak. And he's commenting on three words. Vayashkim Avram Baboker. Avram got up early in the morning. He's all excited to go kill his son that he waited 100 years to have. The son who HaKadosh Baruch Hu, one parak earlier, Bereshis Parak Chaf Aleph, promised him is going to be the future of the Jewish people. And now HaKadosh Baruch Hu utterly contradicts himself and says, I want you to kill your one and only beloved son. Says Rav Kook, in a way that only Rav Kook could. Again, I'm reading you the translation of Vayashkim Avram Baboker. And Avram rose up early in the morning. The peace of mind of the holy soul, of the holy father, the mighty native, did not cease. His sleep was not gone from him. Vayashkim Avram Baboker. Avram woke up early in the morning. Oh, if he woke up, I guess that means what did he do the night before? Slept. Can you imagine? How did Avram fall asleep the night before they came? How is he not tossing and turning in bed, knowing that he's about to take his 37-year-old son, his hope and dreams for his future, and to murder him, to contradict his midav chesed, that his whole life has been about spreading the love, and now he's going to do something that's going to, he's going to lose the respect of the whole world. Murderer, cruel person, meshuganah. And Avram slept the night before? It's strange. Says Rav Kook, yeah, he slept the night before. If you don't think that's the pshat, you're not the only one who doesn't think. There is a way to learn Vayashkim. Getting up doesn't mean that he slept. Ayin, Sefer Har Tzvi Torah, Tzvi Pesach Frank, he brings based on a Mishnah that Vayashkim sometimes in Shas doesn't mean waking up per se from sleep. But the Pashup Shad, Vayashkim Avram Baboker, means Avram woke up early in the morning. Says Rav Kook, so he slept the night before. Yeah, says Rav Kook, he slept the night before. His sleep was not gone from him because of the clear knowledge which came to him through the Dvar Hashem, and no feeling of darkness, negligence, or depression became intermixed in the longings of his purified heart. In other words, Avram had no sveikos about what he was about to do. He wasn't sad, he wasn't depressed, he wasn't confused. He passed the night in the restful, holy sleep of the upright. And the time of rising arrived. As usual, he got up in the morning, everything was good. No problem, jumped out of bed in the morning. And the strength of God, which turns his leg into hinds, to run as a stag and to be mighty as a lion, to do the Ratzon Abore, supported him because he rose early in the morning. Concludes Rav Kook, this holy old man went off to this amazing task, the opposite of all the natural ways of the human soul. Neither stooped nor with failed strength. Mamish, b'chol kocho. Vayashkim Avram Baboker, his reason makdim in the mitzvah, is hopped out of bed, ready to go, maybe grabbed a cup of coffee on the way out the door. His entire journey was powered by the fullness of his supremely elevated love for Hashem. It's beautiful, no? Very poetic, beautiful image. Listen to Rav Soloveitchik. How should I say it? Maybe it's more realistic for us? Maybe that's a nice way to say it? Again, Eilav Eilav Divrei Elokim Chai. They're both true. Listen to how dark and depressing, and I'm not trying to make you depressed, but listen to how Rav Soloveitchik describes the feelings of the Akedah. The Rav wrote, I recoil from all talk that goes round and round the single topic. The Rav says there's a lie that's spread sometimes, even in the Beis Medrash, that the observance of mitzvos is beneficial for digestion, for sound sleep, for family harmony, and for social position. In other words, Rav Soloveitchik is saying, if you think being a frum Jew is easy, then you're lying to yourself. It's not easy. Maybe when you're in a nice little bubble called Yeshiva Shalavim, right, where only thing you have to worry about is sitting and steiging and learning Baba Kama all day. Maybe it's easier. Maybe. But Rav Soloveitchik said, the thought that being Shomer Torah Mitzvos is good for your digestion, it helps you sleep at night, it makes your family life easier, your place in the world more defined. The Rav says, it's not true. And then listen to what Rav Soloveitchik says. These are harsh words, but it's very amistic. And sometimes it's very true to our experience. The religious act is fundamentally an experience of suffering. Wow. And then the Rav turns to the Akedah, the tenth and final test, or the first one to really say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I believe in you, Avram Avinu. Hashem says to Avram, take your son, your only one whom you love, Yitzchak. That is to say, I demand of you the greatest sacrifice. I want your son, who is your only son, and also the one whom you love. Do not fool yourself to think that after you obey me and bring your son up as a burnt offering, I'll give you another son in place of Yitzchak. Don't delude yourself, Avram Avinu. There's not going to be another Yitzchak. This is it. The ship is about to sink. When Yitzchak will be slaughtered on the Mizbeach, you will remain alone and childless. You will not have another child. You will live your life in incomparable solitude. Rav Soloveitchik says, not only is Avram not going to sleep the night before the Akedah, but Avram Avinu is going to have sleepless nights for the rest of his life. He's going to wake up in the middle of the night crying out, Yitzchak, my beloved son, tormented by the loss of his child and his own hands. And in your sleep, you will call for Yitzchak. And when you wake up, you'll find your tent desolate and forsaken. And nevertheless, I demand this sacrifice. That's what Akedas Yitzchak is. Painful, dark, scary, overwhelming. But Chavra, if it's okay for Avram Avinu, as we started this year with the words of Rav Chaim Volozhiner, if that was Avram's experience, then it's okay for us to admit that when we're in B'shas Nisayon, it's also sometimes utterly overwhelming. And that's okay, that's part of the Nisayon. But Apal Pichin, I'm not going to be one of those Jews who runs away from Har Sinai because there's a dark cloud. I'm going to be like Moshe Rabbeinu, having that clarity, that das, to be Nigash El Arafel, to approach the darkness, Asher Sham Elokim, because that's where Kodesh Baruch Hu is discovered, and that's where Kodesh Baruch Hu is found. Someone once came to Ovadia Yosef. Chacham Ovadia Yosef. I have such charata that I never met Chacham Ovadia. I had opportunities, I could have gone. I never went to just to get a bracha from Ovadia, or his famous patch, just to patch people in the face. That was how he gave out brachas. Probably one of the most significant, not probably, definitely one of the most significant Torah personalities of the modern world, the modern era. Revolutionized Sephardi Psak Halacha and Eretz Yisrael, the Sephardi world, restored much of the glory of Sephardic Jewry. Chacham Ovadia, who knew Kol HaTorah Kula, at the mamish, the tip of his tongue. It's insane. Just open up a Yechav Das, a Bia Omer. Look at the Shalos and Chulos. He's quoting Baal Peh Sfarim we've never even heard of. And he knows them cover to cover, the most obscure Achronim. Unbelievable. It's mind-boggling how much Torah was in his brain. The stories they say about him, like racing against the computer to find who could find more Torah sources, you know, like doing the search on like the Bar Ilan thing, he would win. He knew it faster than the fastest computer. We're talking about a Torah genius beyond. Someone once came to Rav Ovadia, who was also a very insightful person. He didn't just have the facts, he knew how, he understood people. And they asked Rav Ovadia, he said, Rabbi, I'm going through unbelievable nisyonos. Parnasa, shidduchim for my children, health issues, nothing's working out, I'm mamish. So many nisyonos. And he said, Rabbi, I'll be honest. I look for Kodesh Baruch Hu's fingerprints along the way. I'm asking the Rabbeinu Shalom, show me a sign, show me that you're out there. Help me to find wherever it is we're trying to get to. And he said, Rebbe, the silence is deafening. It's key that the Rebbeinu Shem has abandoned me completely. That's how I feel. To be honest, I feel like Hashem doesn't care about me. Rebbe Ovadia had such an insightful answer. Chacham Ovadia said, he said, did you go to school when you were younger? Yes, Rebbe, I went to school when I was younger. Good. What happens on a regular day in school? What's it like coming out of class? What does the teacher do? Teacher teaches. You know. We ask questions. There's sometimes it's more conversational. Right? Teacher speaks a lot. Gives their lecture. Gives their shiur. Whatever it is. Okay. So he said, did you ever take a test in school? Yes, Rabbi. I took many tests in school. What does the teacher say during the test? What does the teacher say during the test? The teacher doesn't say during the test. The teacher hands out the test. Goes over the rules for the examination. And the teacher sits down at his or her desk and says, you know, you have 55 minutes to complete the exam, and you know, make sure you keep your eyes on your own paper. The teacher doesn't talk during the test. So Rav Ovadia said, right, the teacher doesn't talk during the test. The Rabbeinu Shel Olam, when he gives us a nisayon, The teacher's still sitting in the room. The teacher's watching very carefully. It could be the teacher's watching more during the test than on a regular day in shiur. But when the teacher gives the test, the teacher wants to see, does the Talmud know how to do it on, so to speak, on his or her own? Can you do it? Can you do it without a Kadosh Baruch Hu, you know, patting you on the back every step of the way? I thought you could add to this beautiful insight of Rav Avadia, a pasuk in Yeshayah. The pasuk says in Yeshayah, Parak Samach Gimel, "B'chol tzarasam lo tzar." It's a Kreenic sif. "B'chol tzarasam," in all of one's pain, "lo tzar." The way that it's written in the pasuk, the ksiv, is lamed aleph, lo tzar. The kri, you know, it sounds the same thus, is lamed vav. What's the difference between lamed aleph and lamed vav? And why is it a kri and a ksiv, and how does it fit with the Ravadi's mashal? I think it fits beautifully. B'shas ksiva, when you're taking the test, so to speak, when the Rebbe is not talking, when it's not a kri, when the Rebbe is not talking, when it's just a ksiv, when you're just writing and filling out the exam, b'chol tzarasim, you're going through the difficulty of that nisayon, there's a perception that lo tzar, lamed aleph, lo tzar, kilo, Hashem, this doesn't even bother you that I'm suffering so much. But afterwards, when Hashem starts to talk again, so to speak, the kri, the way the pasuk is meant to be read, is lamed vav, lo tzar. It's his pain as well. You don't think Hashem is with you, b'shas nisayon? There's a perception that Hashem is not with you, b'shas nisayon. That's what makes him a nisayon. Hashem says, I don't want to baby your whole life. I don't want to always have to pat you on the back and say, great job, shkoyach. I want you to be a big person. I don't want you to be Noah, who has to walk with the Kadosh Baruch every step. I want you to be like Avram Avinu, who's able to walk in the dark. Like the Navi says also in Yeshayah, Parakhtes. Ha'am ha'holchim b'choshech, ra'u or gadol. What a beautiful pasuk. Say it again. Ha'am ha'holchim, it's Yeshayah, Parakhtes, pasuk Aleph. Ha'am ha'cholchim b'choshech, the nation that walked in the dark, ra'u or gadol. You have to have a little courage to say, you know what? It is a hard sugya, but it doesn't mean I'm going to skip it. It is a hard tosos. It is a difficult piece of rashi, but I'm going to break my head on it, and I'm not going to walk away from the mountain. I'm going to keep pushing through that dark cloud until that light bulb, ya'er Hashem panav elecha, until it goes up. I'm going to challenge myself to go weiter, to go weiter, and that's how a person becomes a big person. That's how the Avnei Nezer explains, now the Lubavitcher Rebbe and many other tzaddikim explain, lech lecha. I told you, Chazal say the nisyonos begin with lech lecha, and it ends with lech lecha. It starts with lech lecha me'eretz lecha, and it ends with lech lecha eretz amoriya. Lech lecha, the tzaddikim translate lech lecha as go to yourself. Get to know yourself through being omed b'nisayon. Avraham Avinu was omed b'nisayon, he passed all 10 of his tests. Lech lecha, says the Avnei Nezer, go to yourself. You can't discover yourself if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is carrying you every step of the way. HaKadosh Baruch Hu pretends, Hashem takes a step back and says, let me see if you can do it on your own. Whereas the Baal Shem Tov once gave a mashal, when you're teaching a child how to walk, the way to teach a little kid how to walk, you hold the child's hands, and then the parent lets go for a second, right? You're teaching the kid how to ride a bike, I'm teaching my daughter how to ride a bike. Yeah, so you let go of the bike. Daddy, don't let go of the bike. That's the only way you're going to learn how to ride. So the little child who's just learning how to take those first couple of steps, the parent pulls back her hands and, what? Mommy and daddy, you don't love me anymore. I'm teaching you how to find your own strength. I don't want you to spend your whole life pushing against the air and not feeling anything. I want to put something in front of you so you can feel and identify. Again, in the words of the Ramban, it shouldn't just be leiv tov, it should be maisit. It shouldn't just be theoretical good Judaism, it should be actual good Judaism. I want to end with two final incidents. A line from Tzadok HaKohen of Lublin. I'm going to read you a line from the Sefer Yisrael Kedoshim, the Vavaldic teaching from Tzadok. And then I want to be Messiah with an insight from Rav Meir Shapiro, a Lubliner Rav. Tzadok writes in Yisrael Kedoshim an amazing line. Tzadok writes in Yisrael Kedoshim Oshem. V'chol nisayon hu be'inyan chadash shelo nisnasa adayin adam me'olam be'inyan kazim. Tzadok HaKohen of Lublin, the Holy Tzadok of Lublin. Tzadok writes, every nisayon that we experience in life is an inyan chadash, even though we're walking, so to speak, in the footsteps of the avos. As I began the Shir Avram Avinu, he's Avinu, there's a spiritual legacy that we're following. Says Tzadok, but apal pichin, your nisayon is entirely unique. every nisayon is an inyan chadash. Shelo nisnasa adayin adam be'olam be'inyan kazeh. That no one in history has ever gone through. It's obvious why it's true. Everyone's life is different. Everyone's experience is different. Where you come from. What your family's like. Who your rebbeim were. What your situation is in life. Everyone's situation is different. Everyone here davens the same Shmona Esrei, but everyone davens a different Shmona Esrei. No two Shmona Esreis in history have ever been the same. So Rav Tzaddik says, on the one hand, you're walking in the footsteps of the Avos. On the other hand, there's a feeling like, I'm the only one who's ever had to deal with this. And even though you know 10 other people are sort of dealing with it, but no one's ever dealt with it exactly the way that I'm dealing with it. And it's true. No one in history has ever dealt with it exactly the way that you're dealing with it. And says Rav Tzaddik b'chein kol ha'nisyonos shebechol dor v'dor, and every generation also has unique nisyonos that are unique to that door. Minyanim b'chudashim she'adayin lo nisgabra al zeh shum adam ditzorach esgabris yoyser lichnosh. You're fighting against a unique Yetzirah that never existed in history. What do you mean? You say my taiva was what? No one ever had this before? Not exactly the way that you have it right now in Tavshin Pei, Chodesh Mar Cheshvan. No one in history, no generation grappled with whatever it is the way that we're grappling with it, whatever those things are. And this is, you can try to identify what are the nisyonos of each generation. But that's an unbelievably scary statement of Rav Tzaddik, and it's also unbelievably empowering to realize I have the ability to be mechadish in Avodas Hashem. I draw on the wellsprings of the Avos, I try to follow in their footsteps, but with a sense of deep purpose and individuality in a way that no Jew in history has ever been able to do this before. Do you believe that you can come up with chidushim in Torah that no one has ever said? I believe that. Tzfasan is a parshas Korach, quotes from the first Gei HaRebbe, the chidush herein. Im ein ani li mi li, if I'm not for me, who's going to be for me? That means you can be mechadish things in Torah that if you're not mechadish, if you don't answer up that Rishon's question, no one in history can do. So you'll say, Moshe Tzvi, you're a nice guy, but you're saying, I'm going to think of things that Reb Chaim Kanievsky can't think of. I'm going to be mechadish something that the Vilna Gaon couldn't come up with. I'm going to look at a pasuk and I'm going to be the first one in history, really, to come up with that taichin a pasuk? And the answer is yes. V'sein chalkinu b'sor asecha. I have a chelik in Torah. That if I don't dig it out of myself, then no one's ever going to discover. That's very powerful. But I also have struggles and Yetzirah that no one's ever dealt with before. And that's very scary. But it was scary for Avraham Avinu also. He looks up at the Akedah and he sees the Makom Merach. And that's part of our story as well. I want to be Messiah. I just told you. Tzaddik went to Lublin. I want to be Messiah with one of my favorite teachings from another Tzaddik from Lublin, the Lublin Rav, from Meir Shapiro. Who's from Meir Shapiro? The founder of the Daf Yomi. The architect of Yeshivas Chachmei Lublin. But by the time he was about my age, he was already dead. He lived a very short life, and he accomplished an unbelievable amount. But Meir Shapiro has a vard in last week's parsha, I'll end with this. Avraham Avinu is very nervous that there's going to be no one to continue everything that he's been working with. He's spreading elokus in the world. He wants the world to know that there's a Borei Olam. And he says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what's going to be? I'm going to die in the... Who's going to take over? Eliezer. Eliezer's in heaven. He can't. It's not going to work. He's a good Eben. He's Doilu Mashke. It's not going to work. Hashem says, Avraham, what are you worried about? You don't think you're going to have a child? Come, let's go for a walk. He takes Avraham by the hand, they go outside, Hachutza. And he tells Avraham, look up at the sky. According to Rashi, he goes beyond the stars, beyond the constellations. Avraham, count the stars if you're able to. Ko yihiyazar echa. You think you're not Pashup Shah. You think you're not going to have a child? You're going to have children as numerous as the stars. You're going to have many, many descendants, a great nation. Pashupshah. Says Rav Meir Shapiro. Remember, this is the type of art you can remember for the rest of your life. And it could be mamash mechazik you in every type of nisar. Whether it's a long afternoon seder and you just feel like collapsing, or mamash you're battling the Yetzirah, who knows, whatever it is. This can give you the strength when you feel like I'm out of strength. Says Rav Meir Shapiro. Avraham Avinu is a person of Amunah Pshuta. Like I told you, Hashem says, go to a place that I'll show you. I don't even have a clue where I'm going. Avram goes. Hashem says to Avram Avinu, go count the stars. No? However, what does Avram Avinu do? Tzivoy. It's a command from God. Go count the stars. He walks outside and he starts counting stars. Avram Avinu walks outside. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 100 stars, 1,000 stars, 10,000 stars. Hashem, how am I doing? Keep going. You can go weiter. 100,000 stars, 500,000 stars, 1,000,000 stars. Ramon Shalom, how are we doing? Keep going, Avram. If you're able to, I can try. Keeps going. 1,000,000, 2,000,000, 10,000,000, 100,000,000, 1,000,000,000 stars. How are we doing? Hashem says, compared to the stars in the galaxy, you're getting there slowly. It's a long way to go. And Avram's counting, he's counting, he's counting. The moon of Shuta, he's being the kind of Tzivoy of Hashem. Go count the stars. He's counting, he's counting, he's counting. Finally, Avram Avinu returns to Ramon Shalom and says, Borei Olam, Master of the Universe, I'm trying really hard to count the stars. Nir Ali, Mechilas Kod, Ravon Sholom, Lefi Adiyaz Daiti, this is impossible. I'm trying, but it's really impossible. Hashem says to Avram at that moment three words, Ko Yeh Zarecha. Says with Meir Shapiro, such a deep var. Ko Yeh Zarecha, what's Hashem saying to Avram Avinu? Ko Yeh Zarecha. Just like you're trying to do something impossible, and you're making it kim'at ke'ilu, it's possible. I know I'm asking something of you that seems impossible, but look, you're doing it, Avram. You have a long way to go, but you're making the impossible possible. You're trying to do something which most people would have said, it's not shayach. Stupid, count the stars. There are a trillion stars in galaxy. I'm going to count the stars? I can't count the stars. Why bother trying? Why learn one page of Shas? I'm not convinced I can finish Shas. That's not how a Jew operates. Ko yeh zarecha. Hashem says, Avram, you're courageous. You're trying to do something impossible. You're making impossible possible. Ko yeh zarecha. That will be the legacy of the Jewish people. We will do impossible things. When a person's b'shas nisayon and he says, I can't, Moshe, I can't. It's too much. I can't. I don't have the strength to keep my eyes open for another minute of afternoon singing. Or this ritva is just not, I'm not going to get this ritva. It's not going to be part of my chelik in this world. And your Rebbe says, let's go over it again. The Rebbe, it's fine. Just go on with the shir. It's fine. I'm moishal on the ritva. I'm a vater on this ritva. I can get enough of the sugya. I got enough of the sugya. It's too hard for me. This piece is too hard for me. Remember, Avraham Avinu says, no, there's no such thing. I make impossible things possible. Ko yeh zarecha. That's the legacy of the Jewish people. Ask the world, what are the odds that the Jewish people would still be here as they're firing rockets at us today? No one would have said, we beat all the odds, we're here. We're in Eretz Yisrael, we're learning Torah. Eretz Yisrael is growing and is being built and Torah is being studied. And this tiny little trampled, oppressed people of history is still shining, is still growing, is still doing great. We beat all the odds, that's just how it is. That was the promise of Shemit Avraham Avinu. You're trying to do the impossible. And if there's a part of you that believes it's impossible, I'm going to show you that. For you, for a yid, it's shayach. It's possible. So, Chevra, I give you a bracha. These are the parshas of Avraham Avinu. Lech lecha plus vayera gamatri Avraham Avinu. I give you a bracha that we should have the strength. We should walk, again, in the footsteps of Avraham Avinu to draw on that spiritual DNA of Avraham Avinu. To always find more strength and to just keep going and to do better. And to realize that what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a curveball in your life, whatever it is, in Ruchnius, in Gashmius, whatever it is, to say, it's not a Kodesh Baruch Hu pushing me away from Hashem. It's a Kodesh Baruch Hu, like the Ramban said, giving me the opportunity to turn my koach, my potential, into something amazing, to call. Into something real, something tangible. And Mir Tzashem, each and every one of us, like the Mori Naim said, we'll go through the same 10 tests that Avraham went through. Like the Mishnah says, that Avraham Avinu was omed b'kulan. He carried himself proudly, stood up tall in all of the nisyonos. Mir Tzashem, a Kodesh Baruch Hu should help us to find the strength to pass all of life's tests.